your word. Your word about your son Jesus. We ask that you flood our minds with light today. Let every confusion disappear. Let there be no contradictions in the minds of people. And let them behold Jesus Christ, your son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, today we want to look at something that you know, but I just want to remind you. We want to talk about why do we give? I'm not talking about just in church. Alright? Why do we give? Of course, we're going to talk about church. Why do we give? We want to look at the New Testament spirit of generosity. Because many people, I grew up understanding giving as giving. I just gave. You know, I'm in school. I have two, you know, Trevor. You know the Trevor that has mixed colors? But friend asks you, give. So I was just giving. And somehow my parents began to make it compulsory. Going to church. Say, take! Give! After a while, myself and my cousins, we devised a way. Are you looking at me? Of giving to the food seller. So we can receive. Good measure. Press down. Shaking together. And running over. You know. So I didn't see anything until I began to hear some teachings. About attaching something to your giving. And so. That seemed to confuse my mind. As a young Christian. And I think many of us have been exposed to that very, very evil teaching. I'm starting from the end. Do you get what I'm saying? Very evil teaching. It's not just wrong, it's evil. And we need to understand the importance of a true application and explanation of scriptures. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he's talking to a preacher, a pastor, Timothy. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word there actually means to be eager. Alright? To show yourself as proven of God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Equally, Paul, he warns us in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Say, why are you so soon removed? Galatians 1, 6. From him who has called you from under the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel. Now the word another gospel is the word heteros huagelion. It simply means it will look like the gospel. And most of those who preach another gospel quote the scriptures. It will look like the gospel, but it's not the gospel. You have to closely look at it. Look at what he's saying. And I've always told you, a scripture can never mean what it never meant when it was written. I'll take it again. A scripture today can never mean today what it never meant when it was written. In other words, you can never arrive at the truth when you twist the scriptures. No matter how many results you get from it, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't become true because you have a result. Listen to me. An experience does not validate a lie. If it's a lie, it is a lie. So I want to look at why do we give. As a younger pastor, some 20 years ago, actually 22 years ago, 21, I think so. This was, of course, I don't advise anybody to do what I'm about to say, but I did it. I didn't allow anyone to give offerings for 3 months till I explained what it means to give offering. Don't go try that these days. But I ensured that I explained it so that people were not, I discovered that people were giving from what they thought giving was. So I went through scriptures all over again, and because I had to teach other things, so I was explaining giving. During the week, we had 4 meetings, I think. I was taking one, so for about 2 months, I consistently explained giving. Why we are not asked a tithe in the New Testament, I explained it. Why we are not asked a first fruit or first tree in the New Testament, I explained it for a while. Now I must tell you something. The venue was free. The venue was free. So I could take that risk at that point. But you see, I think the same thing is still today. People need to be taught. Why do we give? Because to God, your motives are important. Your motives are important. Say, my motives are important. So we'll look at the giving today. Giving. In Acts chapter 8, which is really my text, we find a man who came to Peter. Acts chapter 8. Now, the background of this man was that he was called a sorcerer. In verse 9, Acts chapter 8. And there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. So it's very possible to bewitch an entire city, just like Lagos. I said nothing. I just said, just like Lagos. I have no names in mind yet, except you have a word of knowledge. Giving out himself was some great one, so people thought he was a great one. Look at what they called him. To whom they all gave heed, and the least to the greatest. That is, he was very popular. He had television stations. He had jets. He was very popular. What was he called? This man is what? The great power of God. They acknowledged God in what he was doing. But this man was a sorcerer. So along the line, he heard Philip. Look at verse 11. And to him they had regard, because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. So people can be respected over time by sorcery. He had miracles, he had signs and wonders. The people respected him. Verse 12 now says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Can we take verse 13 together? Simon himself believed also. So Simon became a believer, correct? Oh, very good. So after that happened, obviously, Peter and John now came to Samaria to lay hands on the brethren so that they might be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 18. I want us to read it together. We're going to read verse 18 to 19. Let's go. Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them seed. That's a good one. Is that not seed? He offered them what? Seed. As we call it today, seed. Bring your seed. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now the reason why immediately you may have a red flag is because they called him a sorcerer before. Before now. But you see, what he did here will pass for why many people give today. So give me also this, that whomsoever I lay my hands on, he will receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter said unto him, you understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He said, your many perish with you, because you have thought the gift of God may be purchased with money. Let me ask you, was this man wealthy? I believe so. If you can wow an entire city, you have to be wealthy. So he offered them money. What was wrong in what he said? You know, it looks lovely. He wants the power of the Holy Ghost. Shouldn't that be commended? It looks commendable. He wants the power of the Holy Ghost. Why then did Peter rebuke him? Again, why do we give? Look at Matthew chapter 5. We'll come back to this before we close. Matthew 5. Jesus said in verse 43, you have heard, it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That looks cool. That looks cool. Love your neighbor, those who love you, hate those who hate you. You know? Do me, I do you, God, no go back. Said that before. Verse 44, Matthew 5. And I say unto you, love your enemies. How about that? How about that? Love your enemies. It isn't love enemies. Love your own enemies. Those who hate you. Bless them that curse you. How about someone cursing you and you're blessing him? He says, do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Why is this so? Verse 45, let the whole church read together. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Verse 46, if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? He says in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So Jesus says that your heavenly Father does not reward giving with giving. He says he gives to those who don't like him. That's what he said. So that's why the next chapter 6, will make sense. What is popularly called the Lord's Prayer. Verse 12, Matthew 6. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Very, very terrible translation. It looks like God will forgive us if we forgive. That contradicts everything we just read. Meanwhile, the proper Greek tone here is, you forgive us our debts, so we forgive our debtors. That is, he forgave us so that we can forgive our debtors. He is the example of what we do. We are not the examples for what he does. Let me see your hand if you follow what I'm saying. Now, come on, raise your hand if you do. Let me see your hand if you get it now. So it's not proper construction in here. I explained that to you in law in Genesis. And let me go over it again. In verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Very terrible. Even as your heavenly Father forgives you also. That's the right word. This version is really horrible because of the old English. It's not, your heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive others. No. It says, you forgive as your heavenly Father also forgives you. The also should be with what the heavenly Father does. Because where do we get our example of forgiveness from? Where do we get our example of forgiveness from? From the Father. So we ought to change that version. There's a version that corrected it. I'll get it for you next week. Remind me. There's a version that corrected this very well. In verse 15, if you forgive not men the trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. That means the heavenly Father will sin because I sinned. Does it make sense? The heavenly Father will sin because I sinned. Is unforgiveness a sin? Is unforgiveness a sin? So if the heavenly Father refuses to forgive because I didn't forgive, what has he done? You didn't say that with your mouth. He has sinned. God forgive you. No. He says, if you don't forgive as your heavenly Father also forgives you your trespasses. Not as your heavenly Father also forgive your trespasses. That's in verse 15. You can get the teaching. What's it again? It's so great salvation 5C. Right? That we looked at the right Greek words in there. You can check that yourself. So the heavenly Father is the model for forgiveness. He doesn't forgive because we forgive. We forgive because he forgives. He is the example. And we follow his model. So, does the Heavenly Father forgive because we ask him? No. Forgiveness is never an answer to prayer. Every time Jesus said, your sins are forgiven in the four Gospels, nobody asked him. Remember that? In Luke 7, when that woman came to him, the prostitute, he said, your sins are forgiven thee. Luke 7, that should be 49 or so. He said, your sins are forgiven you. In Luke 5, when they brought that fellow from the roof, he said, your sins are forgiven you. Did he ask him? In Luke 23, when they were killing him, someone said, Pastor, I can't say when they were killing him. So that you understand it. It's bad English, but man, leave it like that. When they were killing him, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did they ask him? Did they ask him? No, they didn't ask him. So the Father's forgiveness, is it a response to prayer or his character? That's his character. Does he forgive because you repented? No. No, rather it is his forgiveness that makes you repent. So, forgiveness is not an answer to prayer. That's why it's free. So God gives forgiveness freely. Say, God forgives freely. Say it again, God forgives freely. Don't forget that. Luke 6. There was a lady years back, she was in our ministry some 995. So I didn't see her for a while. So I went to check her in the house. She had been married for years then. I think she had been married for about 10 years or so. So she didn't have a child. So, I don't know, she did something funny, but. So I went to her house to say, why have I not seen you? And then she had no earrings on and all that. So I said, what's going on? She said, I didn't want to tell you. She said, I did so and so and so and so. She told me what she did. It's not fornication. Because that's the next thing on people's mind. Behold the Lamb of God that took the fornication of the whole world away. Everything in people's mind is fornication, 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 fornication. I beg, take it easy on fornication. I didn't say fornicate, I just take it easy on fornication. Okay, so she now said she told me. But she had now gone to another prophet, as some people do. You think, Pastor, it's just word. You don't even have prophetic power. Your telephone number is 080. And you went back to that kind of church. 080-444-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-
remember.
You are listening to sorcerers. Sorcerers. She went to one man of God. He's a man of God. He's been in the ministry for long. She said that so that I would feel funny. Because she was quite older than I was. She has believed for so long. I said, let him be in the ministry since the day of Pentecost. For so long. So he told me that with this thing I've done, that we need to go for 40 days dry fasting. So she was fasting. She removed her ring. Which God, even me as a man, I know you are pretending. I don't have to be God to know you are pretending. So I said, she said, I should not eat. I said, you should not eat what? You are eating now. I got food that you didn't. Nonsense. Nonsense. This is we'll put prophets inside the bowls and eat them. She had it. She makes me fast. Why are you hearing? So now you are looking like you went to Jesus' tomb. Nonsense. Praise the Lord. So for her, she felt she had to do something for God to do something. I said, the day you did what you did, from that day, before it, doing it, and after it, God forgave you. Say, are you now saying international ministries? Are you now saying, saying what? Hallelujah. Are you in church? Luke 6. Verse 38. To the glory of God, to the shame of Satan, I have never used this verse to take offering. Even though I've taken offering thinking about this verse. You don't get my point. Give! And it shall be given all of you. Good measure. Press down. Shall again run over. Shower God. Man, give to your bosom, for with the measure that you need, it shall be done to you. Because of the greed in our eyes, we abandon the verses before. You know, you just abandon it. Kill, and it will come back to you. Good measure, press down, shake it together, and roll it over. Come on, yeah. Oh, it will come back. When you get to the Lord. Look at what he was saying. 36. Be ye therefore what? As your heavenly fathers were, your fathers what? Judge not, and you shall not be judged. That's not your heavenly father, that's men. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Is that God? No. That's man. He just told you your heavenly father is merciful. Do you get this? Now look at 38. Give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, press down, shake it together, and run shall woo. So, verse 37 is about woo. Ah. Verse 37 is about woo. Okay, let's read other ones. Look at 26. Not 26. Okay, 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. That contradicts verse 37. Unto him, now follow this, unto him that smite thee on the cheek, offer also the other. Understand what it means, though. Don't be offering your cheek everywhere. It simply means, do not respond. Do you understand? Not far. Please come back. No. Are you following this? Him that takes away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. Now, look at verse 30. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that takes away thy goods, ask him not again. As you would that men do to you, do to them also. If you love them that love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Are you following this? If you do good to them, we do good to you. What thank have you? For sinners also even the same. If you lend of them whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much. Let's take verse 35. Love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto who? He's kind unto Bill Gates. Bill Gates says there is no God. Unthankful. He's kind unto him. And unto who? The evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your father also is merciful. So, are you supposed to do good to those who will do good back unto you? No. Did he ask you, when you do something, it will be done back to you? Is that what he said? No. He said, when you do things to people, they won't do anything to you. You are not expecting something in return. That's God. That's like your heavenly father. But look at how men do. 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Is this God? Is verse 37 God? Is verse 37 God? So 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Who's he talking about? Man. Good measure, press down, shake it together, and run over. Shall men give unto your bosom? For the measure you meet with her shall be measured unto you again. Of course, he's not even talking about money. But is he talking about giving to God? I'm asking a question. No. So men give as a response. God doesn't give so that he can be given back to you. Because he blesses the unthankful. Those who will not say thank you after, he blesses them. Is that not what we should do too? Right? So, are we to give in expectation of a response? Are we to give to expect it to come back to us? Come on, talk to me. No. How does the Father give? How does the Father give? He gives without expecting anything in return. Does he discriminate how he gives? No, he said to the good and to who? The evil. Still out there? Are you still out there? We're supposed to give like the Heavenly Father gives. James 1. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives unto all, how? The word is aplos. He gives without conditions. He gives freely. Liberally and and operates not. The word operates means it doesn't find fault. Onedizo in the Greek. O-N-I-D-I-Z-O. What it means is that he gives without saying, you know what, because you don't have faith, I won't give you. Because you don't believe, I won't give you. Because you cannot say something. No. He gives without finding fault. He gives without finding fault. Say God gives without finding fault. Let me ask you again. How does God give? Let's use the word liberally. Say God gives liberally. How does the Father give? Liberally. You know, he said, you know, he told them, he said, if you've been evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Praise God. So with the Father, it's much more. Praise God. Praise God. So who is my example of mercy? Huh? Men or the Father? Who is my example of judgment? Men or the Father? Who is my example of forgiveness? Men or the Father? Who is my example of giving? Men or the Father? Does it make sense, sir? Very good. So, go back again to, let's check 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So, I can give as men give, and I can give as God gives. Are we together? Come on, talk to me, church. I can give as God gives, I can also give as men give. Right? Alright? So, this should not amaze you why someone who doesn't believe the gospel is wealthy. Because wealth is not a miracle. It's not a miracle. Wealth is a product of man's efforts, whether honest or dishonest. Wealth is not any gospel that tells you wealth is by miracles is a false gospel. Wealth is by human endeavor, whether honest or dishonest. If you want to eat, you go and walk. And if you're a Christian, you walk honestly. Hallelujah. Remember, someone called me to lay hands on some folks some 16 years back, I think. He said that they call it debt-breaking anointing. That if you are owing money, they will break the debts. So he asked me to pray for them. So I went there. I laid hands on each person and said, go pay your debts. Amen. Go pay your debts. Praise God. Pay your debt. God will help you in your business, your endeavor, but go pay your debt. Go pay. He said, Pastor, what are you telling them? I said, you should go and pay their debt. If you were the one they were owing, would you want me to kick out a bad prayer? Hallelujah. So many lies have been bandied around. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11, right? What did I tell you to open to? 2 Corinthians 11, okay. And this is what Paul says in verse 3. I'll start from 2. I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, as I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is where? In Christ. Pay attention. From the simplicity that is found where? In Christ. The word simplicity there means generosity. It's the word aplotes. Similar to what is in James 1:5. H-A-P-L-O-T-E-S. Aplotes. It means to give with sincerity. Now, the previous word he used in verse 2, is the word chaste virgin. The word chaste means purity. Purity. Which is from the word, write this down, this is vital, I want you to understand this word very well. It's the word agnos. H-A-G-N-O-S. Agnos means purity. Without fault or innocent. You see it used in 2 Corinthians 7:11. 2 Corinthians 7:11. Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are pure, think on these things. 1 Timothy 5:22, 2 Corinthians 11:2. I'll take it again. 2 Corinthians 7:11, Philippians 4:8, 1 Timothy 5:22. It's also from the word hagnotis. Or same word. 2 Corinthians 6:6. It means have a pure intention. Have a sincere intention. So he's saying, listen carefully now. Now I'm saying that you should be sincere in your intentions. Then he says, lest Satan should corrupt your mind from the simplicity, which is the word aplotis. Simplicity means generosity. That is, to give without conditions. To give without holding back. You are giving without holding back. You are giving without holding back. You are generous. Giving in exchange is not generosity. That's a transaction. That's business venture. Which is not wrong. But what he's saying here is that the generosity that is found in Christ. That's why the next statement says, if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. If you receive another spirit, whom you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted. So in other words, he links this generosity to the gospel. What God has done in Christ. So he said, don't let your mind be corrupted from that simplicity. That generosity that is found in Christ. Look at the use of that word one more time. Romans 12:8. Aplotis. The word aplotis means what? It means what? Generosity. Look at Romans 12:8. Same word. He that exhorts on exhortation. Okay? He that gives, let him do it with what? Huh? Change the word now. Generosity. That means he's not expecting you to do something back to him. Let me see if you understand that. Is that very clear? Okay. Let's see another place. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12. Let's go. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. That is, we served you out of what? Generosity. God is talking about service. That is, you are a preacher of the gospel. You are not preaching out of a motive other than to give. Paul says, I don't preach this for a reward. So he's saying, we have served you, our behavior amongst you is with generosity. We have given, and we have given not expecting something in return. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. This is a church that was poor. Macedonia. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 2. Moreover, I'm starting from verse 1. Brethren, we do to you of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Can we take verse 2 together? In great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto what? Of their aplotis. That is, they did not have money. They had recession in their country, but they were giving out of a pure heart. They were not trying to change their recession. Sow your seed to come out. That's not what they were doing. So that Paul said, he asked them not to give, and they insisted they wanted to give. Paul said they insisted. They had not been paying their salaries, but they were giving. Praise God. So, you don't give because you now have an increase in your business. You give because it is the culture of the believer. It's in the church that those who don't have enough still give to those who don't have enough. Do you understand that? That's the culture. That's the spirit. That's who we are. So, They were not given out of convenience. They were given out of conviction. This church, poor church. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Being enriched in everything in bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. The word bountifulness is the same word there. Aplotis. Look at verse 13. Whilst by experimenting of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all. Liberal. Praise God. That is, you are giving without expecting something in return. You are generous. Ephesians 6:5. Hallelujah. I'll start from 5. Ephesians 6:5. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. That is, in singleness. The word singleness there means liberality. Singleness, sincerity of purpose. Same way, generosity. Not with eye service, as men please us, verse 6, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from where? From the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. Are you there? Are you following this? The same thing, Colossians 3:22. So, as believers, how do we give? We give with generosity. We are liberal. That means we are not giving in response to something. Neither are we giving with a condition that we'll get something. Come on, guys, are you following this? Are you following this? Are you following this? So, what kind of giving does our Father do? Liberal giving. What kind of giving did we learn from the Father? Liberal giving. Does He give to all men? Does He selectively give? No. Does He give in expectation for a return? No, He's liberal. There are those who don't even thank Him. Does He stop giving them because of that? No. He doesn't. He doesn't. That's why 1 Timothy 6:17 says, who gives unto all freely? Is that all believers? Huh? No. Unto all freely to enjoy. One of the lies of another gospel is to say that people become wealthy because they gave. It's not just a lie. It's a big, terrible lie. There's not one scripture for it. Jesus had examples. It's just a lie. A big lie. Look at Luke 12. There was a man who was very wealthy. Luke 12. Luke 12. Verse 15. Can we take it together now? Luke 12, 15. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Come on, let's go. Take heed. Beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Then he gave a parable. In verse 16, a certain rich man brought his ground, brought for plentifully. Look at verse 17. He thought within himself, let me have more companies. There's nothing wrong in that. I have no room where to bestow my fruit. There's nothing wrong in having more. If you work more. He said, this is what I do. I'll pull down my barns, verse 18. I'll build greater. I will have bestowed all my fruits and all my goods. There's nothing wrong here. That's plain industry. See what Jesus said. Jesus said this man became wealthy by hard work. That's plain and simple. Hallelujah. Are you following this? There is nobody, don't let any man of God lie to you that it is His grace that is working for you in your company. It's a lie. It is a lie. There is no grace anywhere working for anybody. Hallelujah. I know some people are started quoting Jeff Bezos now. Somebody was tracing the guy's roots to a Christian family. You people will never get tired. You will soon find Sultan of Brunei among the apostles. I'm telling you. Their best, is that not the guy in Amazon? Yeah. Somebody has started writing that the son he had a Christian background. Verse 18. This will I do. I'll pull down my bands and build greater, and there will be so all my fruits and my goods. And I will say, look at it now. I will say to my soul. So, can you imagine? He's a foolish guy. So, idiots. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. So we are building for the future. So you are buying houses all over the place. Are you sure you will live in any of them? Are you following what I'm saying? Christian, a believer has 20 houses in his name. He is the new Jerusalem. So I said, but Pastor, is that not good? I didn't say it's not good. I just say a believer. That's what I said. A man who understands eternity can't reason like that. Because if only in this life we have hope, we are of all men miserable. Your approach to finances must be different than somebody who is not born again. I'm not saying you should be less industrious or less innovative, no. But you should understand that you must never allow material things to own you, so that the absence and the presence will not reflect in your conduct. The moment the absence of money reflects in your conduct or the presence, you have so much to learn. Look at this. So, there are much goods laid up for many years. Take that, eat, and drink, and be merry. There was a man in this country, they asked him, would your money ever finish? He said, my money. Can never finish. He said, if any demon or spendthrift enters the money, it was not a few years after that the entire company was, they were in debt. That is a foolish statement. Wealth can disappear. You don't know? Where is Solomon's wealth? It didn't even last till the next generation. His son did not enjoy his wealth. Go and read your Bible. Are you following what I'm saying? He says, so, that's much good laid up for many years. Take it, eat, drink, and be merry. Look at verse 20. But God said unto him, fool, if God calls you a fool, you are anointed fool. You have grace for it. Fool, this night, that means you are not, a fool means somebody who is not thinking deep. They are not thinking deep. You see people that have billions, and small sickness will kill them. Billions. Is it not true? Is it not true? Billions. Because greed, you have more, you want to have more, and when you don't have more, you want to say have more. You build a house of 50 rooms, only you. You not even allow people to live with you. So I say, you have 50 rooms. Somebody now says in one of the rooms, who came to this room? In 50. This is not saying, I work for my money. We know. When you die, which of those rooms will you live in? I have not seen anyone who has purchased death before. Not one. The best people have done is build their graves before they die. But at least you recognize that. Are you following this? Are you following what I'm saying? He said, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Even those, he said, then, whose shall those things be? which thou hast provided. It means you have no control. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Was this man wealthy because he was a giver? If I was the other way around. There was another rich, a young rich ruler Jesus spoke to in Mark 10. He told him to give to the poor and the man ran away. That shows you that the man did not become wealthy because he was giving. It's a lie. People become rich because of industry. And the industry can be positive or negative. You know, kidnapping is an industry. It's an industry. You don't just kidnap anyone. You don't say, I kidnap you. It takes planning. Execution. It's industry. Hallelujah. But bad industry. Dishonest industry. So, by human endeavor, people have money. If you like, sit in your house and be speaking in tongues. Lagaga, rogogo, regege. After a while, your tongues will become English. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Try it. Sit in your room and pray for 1 week. See whether money will come. Oh Lord, I therefore, I declare, I decree, I confess, I profess, I'm confused. You better go out and walk. Hallelujah. So, wealth is a function of what? Human endeavor. Is that not true? Which can be positive and negative. It can be a function of oppressing the poor. Is that not true? Or is it not true? It can be a function of oppressing the poor. Hallelujah. So, no one was taught in scripture, not Jesus, not by the apostles, that they became wealthy because they were givers. Look at 1 Timothy 6:17. That teaching about giving so you become wealthy was coined by ministers of the gospel, ministers. Because not everyone who says it is of the gospel. So that it can profit them. And when you are covetous, which I have been to, you will like that kind of teaching. Give, so. There was one day like that. Somebody asked us to come and give. I was running there. So I fell down. I just stood up. I didn't go again. I just didn't go again. I said, give. I just look at that. What is this for? Yeah, I like to think. What's it for? Someone gave, removed his shirt, gave. Was removing his trousers, Oga. You can't do that one here. That would be deliverance matter. Where's YJ? YJ, you and Bro Daniel. Were you the one that you ran to your house to go and take your, is it jewelry or something? They just stopped along the way and they gave themselves brain. Not in this church, oh. Abi? Not here. Praise the Lord. A girl told me how she just knew that Abi's watch, Rolex. She told me jumping back. I said, what did I do? She just took it in back. Don't ever give under emotional compulsion. You are wasting your time and your emotions and the compulsion too. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. You know, a man told me this. He was inviting me to preach for him. And he told me up front. He said, sir, people love you. They love you. They believe in you. Pastor Chris, they love you. We need you to help us raise money. He mentioned the amount. I think it was 18 million. He said, we'll give you, I think he said, they'll give me 8 million. And he made it look so nice that they needed money for church building. When it was done, I said, are you true? says, the way he says, I know, I just want to tell you this. I know you may feel somehow, but just understand our sincerity. He called the thing well when it was true. I said, I'm not coming again. I said, I need money. Even the devil knows. But not that kind of money. He said, no, so, don't bother coming again. Don't raise the money again. I said, no. I cannot preach for you again. You are not a man of God. How can you tell me to come and come to the people as though I came to bless them, whereas I came to extort them? That's what you want me to come and do. I will come in the name of the Lord, but I came in the name of fundraising. I said, I've sworn that the day I do it, let me not live one more minute on earth. I'm not part of that group. I have needs, though. In fact, if I sell you, you won't meet my needs. You know me, my friend. Hallelujah. But never with the gospel. I will never trade with the gospel. The gospel is free. Hallelujah. I said, I'm not coming again. The guy told me, you know, they've just listened to you, sir. Can you raise the offering immediately? Because the whole place was agog. He said, Pastor, you are the best person now to raise this offering. So give me the mic. She said, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. We read it. I said, give. And I went back to my seat. Look at me like this. I said, you've not finished. I said, I finished. Hallelujah. You have to be careful. But the truth is this. Most of us that respond to those things, we have our own in our body. We are equally being. What will make a Christian? Look at your. Now, let us drop your Bible. Close it. Close it. Close it. Close totally. Don't open so that we will not. Why would you want to put down 20 naira and get 2,000? In the natural, what do you call that? Close your Bible. Don't give me any spiritual. What do you call it? Huh? Gambling. Casino. No, close your Bible. What do you call it? I will never forget. Open your Bible. You know the story. I was going to preach 23 years ago. It was not last year. On Oshodi Bridge. Maybe you are already laughing. You know the story. The guy said, come! Come! And they had this. They had video machines, television sets, so many things they put here. He said, come! You do this, you get this. I was coming from preaching. So I got there. I said, I like these things. That's how I stopped. I took my money. God helped me that day. I didn't take my transport thing. I put it down. Hey. So that one is your own. So I was waiting. Man of God. No shame. I was waiting. I was already speaking in tongues. Favor. So, after 1 hour, they're not talking to me. And I saw a soldier there. I said, sir, my TV, he gave me a dirty slap. Get out of there! I almost fell down. You know, when you hear a slap, and your entire future and your past, they come together at once. I just went to one corner. See, one federal mass transit came. I entered. I didn't raise a voice. With that kind of slap, you don't talk until you get into the bus. As we are going, I said, Dude! Are you there? You are a believer. You are generous. 1 Timothy 6:17. You learning something? Charge them that are rich in this world. That means they are already rich. Praise God. That they be not, 6:17. That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let's take verse 18 together. That they do good and be rich in what? So can you be rich in money and not rich in good works? Was it because they were giving that they were rich? No. If that was it, why is he telling them to give? You don't become rich by giving. It's a lie. You become rich by endeavor, which can be positive or negative. Or by inheritance. There was a dear friend of mine. The kind of inheritance that they had in their family. It was intimidating. I would take Okada to go and preach for her. She was a pastor of the church. And I would drop with Okada. We got to her house. One day, she just showed me her house. And I saw money stacked up. The kind of money that my family, together, as a corporate body, not my immediate family, the whole clan, we will be thanking God if it falls on us. She put it in her room, stacked up. Ah! I said, Jesus. And I vowed that I was preaching for them, and I vowed I was not going to collect honorarium. When I saw that money, I was my conviction shifted. I stayed there for a few minutes. Jesus Christ. She stacked it up. I saw it. With money, that's inheritance. She had just graduated from law school. She had not gone for NYSC. She had that kind of money. She had not gone under the sun. She had not been doing this. That's money. You know, when you have that kind of money in your house, you know what is in your account? Houses to your name before you were born. I mean, to your name. Not that I believe, I confess. I profess. I declare. It is mine. It is mine. This one has just 2 years old. It is yours. No confession. I confess. I declare. I possess my letter. People can be rich that way. People can be rich also by election in Nigeria. You don't know whether the election I'm talking about is for knowledge and predestination. Are you following what I'm saying? You can also be rich by being a minister in a church. I didn't say of the gospel. Where people, when they come into the building, they give their brain to the usher. Usher, hold it till the service is over. So you enter. As old as you are, they told you to bring your money that you'll be rich. As old as you are, you brought everything. You should go and return your certificate to your university. Go to your village. Apologize to everybody. Shame on you. You should know by now at your age that it's what you do that comes back to you. Amen. Up of Jesus, down, down Satan. So these people, he was telling them, be rich in good works, communicate. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Did they become rich by giving? Did they become rich by giving? No. Hard work. Inheritance. Situation. Circumstances. Sometimes it's the nation where you find yourself. Sometimes it's the country. There are so many reasons why people are rich. Giving is not one of it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? That's why the gospel, that useless gospel, when you get among wealthy people, you shut your mouth. Imagine if you are teaching all those things, and then Bill Gates will enter the service, Warren Buffett, and they sit down, and that other guy, Mark Zuckerberg, he sits down. You will close your Bible, you'll say, the kingdom of heaven. Because you can't talk about money with those kind of people. Which money do you have? For the fact that you are confessing it in your church means you don't have it. I can never be broke. They know that you're a small boy. I was one guy, one day in a business trip. The guy had $300 million. He said, he's there. I said, eh? He wore a t-shirt and jeans. He wore suit. We're looking. The guy that had the thing, he was just. We were dressed for nothing. Let me leave this side. So, it is not true to tell people to give to get back. It's deceit. See, Isaac sowed in the land. Your brain has not told you it is so land. So land. Is a land a man of God? Isaac was a farmer. Abraham was a businessman. Abraham was what? Abraham was not making money by giving word of knowledge. I declare over your life today that you're Abraham was rich because he had herdsmen. Not plenty of herdsmen. He had herdsmen. He had a farm. His children were in the industry. Abraham was a prophet of God, but he was also into industry. He was an industrialist. He was working. And that's why his businesses went up and down. There was a time Abraham had recession. He had to use his wife. Let's leave that side. So Abraham's businesses were not always clean. Abraham did some 419. That is why we are not told to emulate his wealth. Just his faith for righteousness. No more. His son Isaac was like that too. His son's son too was like that. He too gave his wife for something. His son's son said, take Benjamin away, let me just get money. Is it not true? Leave that thing. Okay? Aha. But in all of them, they were industrious, whether positive or negative. Never let anyone lie to you. If you sit in your house and you are confessing, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, they will take light. The very first sign that nothing is yours is there is no generator. It's mine. You start to sweat. It's mine. It's mine. If you don't get out of that room. I'm not on this one today. Let me get on something else. So, don't deceive yourself. If you like, give to this community every minute. It does nothing to your finances. So. Say, I want to connect with the pastor. Connect, oh. Please, connect. But that connection is one-sided. As you connect, it stays there connected. Don't forget what I'm saying. Aha. So it's important. How does God give again? Generously. How are we supposed to give? And listen carefully. The Bible warns us of boasting about what we own. Jesus called the rich one here a fool. Why was he a fool? He was boasting about what he owned. He's a fool. In Revelation chapter 3, it's so shameful, you'll find preachers. I've done it before. It's a thing of shame where a preacher will come and tell us, I just did this. I just bought this. I just did this. Our account. That preacher is a foolish person. Preachers don't make boasts of material things. It's a shame. Revelation 3. Are you in church? Are you in church? Look at verse 15. I want us to read it together. This is from Laodicea. Let's go. I know thy works, that thou hast neither hot nor cold, nor cold nor hot. I would that you be cold or hot. Let's say 16 together. Neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing. And know not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Are you following this? That means this doctrine is always affirming physical wealth. This is the prosperity gospel. We are rich! Hallelujah! We cannot be poor. As you are saying that, it says you are miserable. You are naked. Because only those who are miserable boast about earthly things. Are we together here? Hallelujah. Say, I'm Libra. I'm Libra. Say, I'm Libra. I'm not covetous. I'm not money-minded. I'm not materialistic. I walk in the spirit. Say, I walk in the spirit. I am not covetous. I'm not miserable in my thinking. I'm godly in my thinking. Hallelujah. Jesus said, having food, Paul said, having food and raiment, be content. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Are you there? How did God give? How? Look at James. James 2. One more. James 2. Can we take it together? James 2 verse 1. Let's go. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring, goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that wears the gate clothes, and say unto him, sit down in a good place, and say to the poor, stand out there, or sit there under my stool, are you not partial in yourselves, and have become judges of evil thoughts? Verse 5. Acting, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Can we take verse 6 together? And you have despised the poor. You do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? James wasn't kind on the rich. Neither was Jesus. So now, but the Bible says, we know the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was poor and he became rich. How was he poor? Who stole his things? The moment you cannot see that what he's talking about there is spiritual, there's something wrong with you. Because if you say he was poor so that he become rich, that would mean that everybody who is not saved is poor. Does that make sense? How was he poor? He lost things? They stripped him on the cross? No. What he's saying is just exactly what he had said earlier. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we are made what? The righteousness of God in him. Are you following that? It's when you have a materialistic mindset that verse becomes money. Just like John 10:10. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Those who were listening to him did not think he was talking about money. But here, you now draw apple and G-Wagon and jets. That's how our minds have wandered from spiritual realities. See, I give generously. So why should I give? I must never give with my need in mind. The moment I'm giving to get, I become covetous. I'm not giving to get, I'm giving so that someone's needs will be met. The only need on my mind when giving is the need of the person who is going to benefit from my giving. And that's why many folks who used to tithe, first fruit, first tree, the moment they hear that the tithing is not a requirement in the new covenant, and of course, first fruit is human being. That one is the most silly one. First fruit, tithing was never money. First fruit is human being in the new covenant. Prophet offering, seed faith. That was a 24-hour miracle. What is it? I didn't hear you. Ezra commission. Please, it's okay. Ezra commission. Firstborn offering. Do you know someone told me this? And he was trying to make a change. He said, we do a lot of programs in our church because they taught us to raise money, do many programs. People will keep coming and you make money. That is why a man will gather Christians and tell all of them they need deliverance. And he will scare them. But you are forgetting something. There are so many. When they come, they will put down money. The kind of monies they make from all those meetings is, you can't imagine it. Because the money gospel is a Siamese twins to the legalism gospel. They are together. They keep you in bondage. You think you have to do something. So you keep coming back for deliverance. 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 And in every service, you are putting that money. So that's how they taught us. Keep doing programs. Keep doing programs. People will keep coming. And when they keep coming, they will keep putting that money. The moment you preach that they are free, they may not come again. And when they don't come again, money too will not come again. And that's the problem. But we have not so learned Christ. We will not handle the word of God deceitfully. Hallelujah. Are you still there? How did God give? Romans 5, 8. God commended his love towards us while we are yet sinners. Christ died for us. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, shall he not with him freely, so freely, freely, freely give us of all things. God gives in a free way. Let's see examples of giving and gradually close. Luke 8. The women who gave to Jesus were not getting anything in return. Luke chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. Verse 3 says, they ministered to him of their substance. There was nothing that came back to them materially. Luke chapter 8. In Mark 12, there was a woman. Mark 12, that should be verse 41 to 44. Mark 12, 41 to 44. Jesus saw people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Pay attention. Verse 42. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said, I say unto you, let's take verse 43 together. Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of the one she did cast in all she had, in all her living. See that? They had a lot, so they gave. She had very little, and she gave. Are you following what we are saying here? That's giving. Look at Matthew 26, verse 7. A woman poured on Jesus what is today called the alabaster box. Matthew 26, verse 7. Very precious ointment, and wasted it on Jesus. The disciples in verse 8 says, to what purpose is this waste? If Jesus taught them that when you give, you get back, would they have called it waste? No. That means when you give, you are letting it go. You are not waiting for something to come back. Generosity means I'm letting this go. I'm not expecting multiplication. Transaction is different from giving. When you are giving, you are not investing. You are letting go. Hallelujah. So I say, so why do we give? We give to break the hold of materials over our lives. We give to break a hold of covetousness and greed upon our lives. So giving is walking in the spirit. Say, giving is walking in the spirit. It's not a transaction. In Acts 2, are you learning something? Check your motives, brother and sister. Check your motives. Why do you give? Why do you help people? We often help people that can help us back. That is not giving. We give to people and we expect them to say thank you. Mm-mm. Jesus said, how are you different from the unbeliever? So when people don't say thank you, you don't give them again. That's not Christian. In fact, when people preach it, if you don't give thanks for what you have today, how will you get the one for tomorrow? Not just some people. That's how we used to do our devotion in my family. It's in Yoruba that my mother says it. If we don't thank you for yesterday, how do we get the one for today? What nonsense. Are you there? Acts 2. Verse 44. To 45. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them, verse 45, to every man who had need. Nobody was given because of his own needs. Acts 4. Verse 32, the same thing. And verse 35. They laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Nobody was given to meet their own needs. They were given to meet the needs of others. Acts 11. Paul and Barnabas, what did they take with them? Acts 11, verse 29. Because there was poverty or there was recession in Jerusalem, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea. Imagine there was recession in Judea. They didn't send some men of God to go and do 24-hour miracle service. To the right, to the left. When a believer is poor, you don't pray for him. Don't say, Mabalasa, Gagaraga. Ah, the Lord is saying to you, there's something in your hand that is your prosperity. Check your account. The seed for the destination seed is in your account. That man is a thief. Run away from him. How, when believers had need in the Bible, were those needs met by prayer? Prophecy? They were met by what? Giving. As each man had need. Are you there? Anybody who is prophesying over you when you have needs and he has the money, he has shut up his bowels of compassion. 1 John 3:17. That's what James said, that faith without works is dead. What works was he talking about? Love, giving. It's not faith without going to your office. No. Faith without works. If your brother has need and you say, bless you, mama, shouldn't die. He said, where is your faith? Where is the work of your faith? The work of your faith is that somebody has a need, and don't forget, a brother, and you meet the need. Because the fruit of faith is love. How we perceive the love of God for us, that he laid down his life for us, 1 John 3:16. So we also lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. Are you following this? So every man gave as he had ability. Not that everybody gave. So the Lord is saying right now, there's a seed that must go to Jerusalem. A seed. It is $91 seed for 91, Psalm 91. Why dollar? Why not naira? $118 for 118. And you know why you came out? You are greedy. You are a greedy person. You are greedy. So somebody that wants to die, as many person that wants to bury him. You are greedy. If you want more money in your account, what do? Raise your voice. Just say the word. The word has never made anybody prosper. The word. The word will make you give, not prosper. What makes people prosper is the work of their hands, whether honest or dishonest. That's why we don't celebrate the rich. Because we are not sure how your own came. You can come and say, praise the Lord! Brethren! I know if we apply. Praise the Lord! There are some testimonies, if you share them in countries where they have law. Where they have proper laws. I didn't even apply. I was not qualified at all. In fact, my age is below the age. I say it in church. Brethren, come and join. You have not told us how many people you called. So from nowhere. We think by saying people helped us, not a miracle. That's stupid. Nobody. Lest you say that I made Abraham rich. Did the people not walk with Abraham? Praise the Lord. I did not even apply for the visa. How my passport got to the embassy? In fact, they sent me a visa page without my passport. Pedro! I don't know about you. We say, wow. The God of our man of God is a great God. God will help us. You give as you have ability. Is that okay? Not that you go and take your children's school fees. Say you want to sow seed. You have sown your children. You take your house rent. Because the thing will never come back. You can't come to my house. Say, Pastor, I'm coming to your house. Say, why? I sold to your church. Ah. What did you give? Your house rent. I didn't give my own. How come we are not smart? Pay your students' fees. Amen. You have an obligation. Praise God. Pay your house rent. Don't say, I'm going to connect my... I've done it before. I took my school fees. Don't let me give you stories. Don't go and take your money for your business. Say, I believe that this money, any money that cannot meet your need is a seed. Ah, save it. Those things are false doctrines. Go and save it too. That man of God tell you that your business capital is 1 million, you just have 500,000. That shows it's a seed. Ha, ha. Don't listen to him. Scope. The man is copying you. Save the money and raise more money. Are you following my point? Say, I'm not stupid. It's a confession. Say, I'm not stupid.
I'm not stupid.
Tell your neighbor, say, do I look stupid? Hallelujah. How can you go to university? 4 years, 5 years, some of you did extra year. And you came out and your life is still the same. And your brain has been laundered. See people going for deliverance. They say they want to change their name. They are going for deliverance. Christians, oh, why are they going for deliverance? Because they want to get a job. Where? In the company of somebody who is not born again. Does that make sense? You are going for deliverance to get a job in the house of somebody who is born of the devil. He has what you are looking for. But you need deliverance to get what he has without deliverance. Bring. You change your name from Oguwale to Jesu Wale to get employment in the company of a man that is called Fadele. Do you have brain? How does your name affect your application? We just have imaginations. That's why they say, what is here? They say, my name is Lucifer. Are you not stupid? Facebook. Something is wrong with you. It's nightmare. That's happened to you. Where were we? Acts 11. So, Romans 12, 8. Give with sincerity. 2 Corinthians 8, 2. Give with sincerity. Liberality. Give generously. And when you give generously, see, if you reduce what you were giving, because something is not coming back to you, you are still a greedy and covetous person. Say, ah, so, no show. So as they bring the offering back, just not today. No show. Mm-mm. We give more. I have never in my life, I've been born again almost 30 years, I have never given tithe in my life. I have never once. Doesn't make sense. I always give it. Be generous. You meet the needs. You meet needs. We give to meet people's needs. Say, we give to meet people's needs. Quickly write this down. One of them will be the church. The needs of the saints. 1 Corinthians 16. Let's look at it together as we close. 1 Corinthians 16. Now, concerning collection for the saints. Can I put community there? Ah, is it not the same thing? For I have given order to the church of Galatia. Even so do ye. So it was an order. Pay attention. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you labor him in store as he has been prospered. Remove the word God there. That there be no gatherings when I come. So I must meet the needs of the saints. You know the needs of this church is your need. Are you there? When we have something to do in church for the saints, it's the needs of the saints. If your church has a need, it's the need of the saints. You give. Paul says every first day of every week. So that means everyone must decide. However you earn money, maybe it's weekly, maybe it's monthly, you put aside something for the church. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying? You are the one that will determine what you want to give. But the more you prosper, the more you give. You can't have a Mercedes-Benz living. I like Mercedes-Benz, don't mind me. And be giving or kind of giving. Your giving should reflect your earnings. Also, you give to your pastor. Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. Not by stretching forth your hand. More grace. Say, virtue has left you. It's you that virtue will leave. Let him return back to you. What is your virtue left you? Bros, bring out money. Let him communicate to him that giveth in all good things. Who determines what to give? Are you expecting anointing when you can't even get it? 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For thou shalt not muzzle the ox that threshes the corn, for the laborer is worthy of what? His wages. So you give to your leaders, your spiritual leaders. You give to the poor. Galatians 2:10. Romans 15, verse 26 to 28. You give to the poor. You give to widows, but don't forget widows above 60. That's what Paul said. We'll see later whether that's applicable to every church, but I'll leave it at that today. 1 Timothy 5. And Paul, I'm closing here, and Paul wrote that we must not support those who are lazy. 2 Thessalonians 3. Brother, what do you do for a living? I pray in tongues. I just pray in tongues. I grew evangelism. 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. You yourselves know how we ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 3, pardon me. Verse 7. Verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but rock we labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have no power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded that if any would not walk, neither should he eat. Did this include the apostles? Yes. We hear that there be some that are always praying in tongues all over the place. No walk. Disorderly, walking not all at all, but are busy bodies. We command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they walk and eat their own bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well doing. But if any man obey not our word by this epistle, not that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. So when you find a brother who is lazy, he says, don't company with him. Let him walk. What do you do for a living? Where do you go? Find something to do. So even giving to someone who is lazy is not scriptural. You must make sure the person is not a busybody. Some people may have all the efforts, but they've not been able to meet their individual needs to support them. Are you following this? So we give. So back to where we started from, Acts 8, we close there. When I give to get, who am I? I'm covetous. I'm greedy. I'm not generous. I'm not walking in the spirit. I'm walking in the flesh. Before we go there, look at 1 Corinthians 13. Can I give without love? Yes. I can give without the motive of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. I can give my body to be burned with expectation to get something back. It says it profits you nothing. I must give without condition and generously. Acts 8. I watch my treasures grow as I let it go. What I give to God, I never lose. So I open up my heart.
Jesus wants to bless the world through. I watch my treasures grow. I watch my treasures grow.
Come on, sir.
As I let it go,
what I give to God.
What I give to God. So I open up my eyes. So I open up my eyes. Cause I know Jesus wants to bless. So I open up. Jesus wants to bless the world. The world to me. He wants to bless the world.
Acts 8. Verse 19. Give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, you may receive the Holy Ghost. Can we take verse 20 together into verse 21? Let's go. Peter said unto him, your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God can be purchased with giving. It's not give to get. It's give so that others will get. Look at verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. When I give to get, my heart is not right. Ensure that your heart is right today in how you give. In John 2, Jesus entered into the temple and he saw people making merchandise, selling and buying, and he drove them out. My Father's house shall not be a house for investment. Mark 11, 17, but it will be a house of prayer unto all nations. Where you find people give and they come out like this and they are dropping money and they are saying, come and do this to connect. It's a house of merchandise. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, the end of such has come upon Nigeria. The end of such has come upon Africa. Jesus alone will be taught in every denomination and every nation in Africa. That false version of the gospel has come to a dead end. The light of the glorious knowledge of Jesus Christ shines all over East Africa, West Africa, North Africa, Central Africa, Southern Africa, all over this nation. The light of his word is shining. Greed, mammon, avarice, covetousness are exposed by the power of the Holy Ghost. That terrible gospel of giving to get that brought evil and greed, the lives of believers has come to an end. It makes you callous. When you are giving to get, you become callous. You will be giving with conditions. You'll be giving less to those who will say no thank you to you, because you have become callous. It's that doctrine that has made believers not even forgive other people. There's a doctrine of evil that's come to an end in the name of Jesus. Are you blessed?
My treasures grow as I live.